Do I hate this week's guest on Pitch Pass? No. But only because my grandmother said, you never hate anyone. You just strongly dislike. Well, I strongly disliked our guest in this week's episode of Pitch Pass. Brought to you by Tropical Smoothie Cafe, proud sponsor of DC United.
Philadelphia, San Jose, or DC United.
Los Angeles, Galaxy.
Pitch Pass.
Colorado Rapids.
Vancouver Whitecaps.
Orlando City SC. Montreal Impact. NYCFC. Seattle Sounders.
Pitch Pass, your all-access credential to the people that matter in MLS. Here's your host, Greg Roach.
I believe it was Plain White Tees who once said, hate is a strong word, but I really, really, really don't like you. And that's how I felt about our guest today, which is a really weird way to kick off the podcast. So I'll just do it the normal way from here on out. Thank you for listening, downloading, streaming, however you got this podcast. I appreciate it, and I hope that you're able to tell your friends about this podcast, because we're honest on the podcast, and I hope that you appreciate that. Please, Apple Podcast does some sort of algorithm where they rank the podcast based on likes and reviews. So feel free to like and review and rate Pitch Pass on Apple Podcasts. If you got it someplace else, that's fine too. My guest today, well, he's been around. He hasn't been liked or rated highly by opponents of the teams he's been on. But now that he's on DC United, I'm thinking that his approval rating in the DMV will go up. He's Felipe Martins, and he joins us right now on Pitch Pass. Felipe, how are you, sir?
Very good, thank you. How are you?
We're going to jump right into it, Felipe, if that's all right.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. Before Sunday night against LA Galaxy, I'm going to tell you, because we're being honest, we're trying to forge a friendship here, Felipe, I did not like you very much.
that's okay. I could imagine.
And I think you know why. We, as DC United fans, first of all, you played for Red Bulls for many years, problem number one, and the Espíndola situation, problem number two. Before we get into all of that, I said before Sunday night, Felipe, watching you play in the black and red of DC United, I was struck by how passionate you were already for the club. In fact, when the whistle blew, I would have thought, just looking specifically at you, that Brazil had won the World Cup with how excited and how pumped up you were to get that win.
Yes, you know, like as I always said, when you are in a team that's, you know, sometimes it can be rivality, you know, anything maybe you don't like for other things, the player, but I could expect, you know, that the fans would be, you know, in the beginning hard on me, you know, that's normal because all the fans are passionate as well. And being a part of Red Bull was, you know, for sure the priority for them to hate me. But now I'm one of you guys. You know, I am all in. I'm here to do the best I can to honor this jersey, to honor this city. And that's just the beginning. You know, that's who I am. I love to give everything, to embrace you know, the city, the culture of the club, the everything we can do possible to honor this club. And that was my how happy I was, how excited I was after the game, because, you know, it's tough to come to a place that you know that for many you're hated. It's tough to come you know, to a rival team that's for many years hated you. But yes, I was very happy the way they welcomed me, the way they accept me as one of you, and they can be sure that I'm gonna always give my all and my heart into the field for this team.
And that's the hard part for me as a DC United fan is I really, really want to hate you, Felipe, but you're making it so damn hard by, first of all, giving your best on the field, secondly, passionately celebrating a win, and thirdly, giving answers like that, which I've also read online, and your answers are, look, I understand the situation, I'm just going to do the best I can, and I just go, God, I want to hate that guy because he's being so cool about things.
Yes, you know, it's... I do what I can control. If the things I can't control is nothing I can do. What I can control is every time I go on the field, I make sure that I give what more than what they expect me. You know, more than every coach expects me, more than my teammates expect. You know, they know that when I'm on the field, I'm gonna give everything for everyone that I possibly can and help the team to get the win.
Now, here's what I will say, though. A lot of times if I said something to the effect to a player during an interview or conversation and I say, oh, I hated you. Most times the response is, oh, really? Why? What would you? Your response was like, yeah, dude, I get that all the time. I feel like you do hear that a lot. Is that true, Felipe?
Yes. I know for many years that around the league, especially with the fans and the players that play against, it's I'm not a very welcome player, but the guys who are on the field with me, the guys who plays with me, you know, they know day by day the way I am, you know, the way I'm off the field. And you know, fans and other players just judge me what they see on the field, what they when they play against me. So yeah, I'm used to it, and again, you know, it's nothing that I need to prove that people that I'm different, because I don't want to change the way I'm on the field, because that's what brought me here.
Well, so that's a very interesting point, and that's what I want to ask you. You walked Stephen Goff of the Washington Post through the Espíndola situation from your side. What I am going to ask you is, though, you say that, how I play on the field. Why is it, do you think, that people hate you?
It's just, you know, sometimes you are judged the way you act, the way you are, the way you walk, sometimes how confident you are. And sometimes that can be misunderstood as arrogancy. But sometimes the way you always been, you know, the way you go on the field and get the confidence, it's showing that you are more confident than anybody. And sometimes that can be misunderstood. Mm. And I am confident. When I'm on the field, I feel I'm the strongest guy, and I don't gonna let anybody put me down, you know. So that's the way I always be. And that's the way I'm gonna continue to be, because that's one of my strengths.
I would like to give an example to anybody listening of why people may hate Felipe, but when he's on your team, you can just, there was a thing that happened on Sunday where all I could do is just tip my cap to you. It was a free kick that United was awarded. It wasn't at the top of the box, but it was just in the center of the midfield line and the top of the box. And you stepped over to take it, and while the referee was talking, you just kept spinning the ball forward, and it got a little bit more forward and a little bit more forward, and next thing you know, it's 10 yards further forward than actually the spot of the foul was, and it drove Dos Santos and Antuna through the roof, that they ran over to the ref to complain, and your response when you saw it was like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know where the exact spot was, that's my B. And I could see, Felipe, if you were on the other team, you would go, I hate that guy. But for me, as a DC United fan, I was like, that's a really smart play, Felipe. Good work.
Yeah, that might be the 5 yards that could get us a goal. You know, so I'm always thinking about the team. I might sound or look differently, but every time on the field, I only think about the team and to win. Nothing else, you know. So to play for my teammates, to get the 3 points, and celebrate after game.
Take me into the locker room. We know we talked about, you know, what fan bases might think and their perception of you. You've been traded a couple of times at this point. You've been in the league for a while. You have a reputation, whether you feel it's earned or not earned. What's it like for you to go and to walk into a DC United, a New York Red Bulls locker room, a Vancouver Whitecaps locker room for the first time after and knowing what your reputation is in MLS? Is it hard or is it kind of part of the game and how other athletes and professionals look at each other?
First of all, you know, like, guys get surprised, you know, because they only have seen me on the field, you know. So I guess the, like, every time I walk into the locker room and they start to live day by day, they start to realize that, you know, I'm a completely different person when I'm off the field. And, you know, it's especially walking to the DC United, first of all, you got to have much respect for everyone that's already here, especially being traded end of the year. You know, they've built something here, something great, and you always got to respect what was built. So you are, you know, a new guy. You just got to walk in and get to work, you know, be ready to do what the coaches ask you, what they respect the rules, and be the best you can to help your teammates to get better, you know, because I'm here to add, not to take.
I wanted to ask you a little bit about, you know, your early career. You had an interesting path to MLS and to where you are now in Washington, D.C. We always see Brazilians going overseas and or leaving the country to ply their trade professionally. You went a little earlier, I think, than most Brazilian players do in that, you know, your clubs, you didn't really play for any professional Brazilian clubs. You immediately started overseas. How did your journey end up there to kind of start your career there rather than in your home country?
Yes, you know, I never was part of famous or big teams growing up in Brazil. I never, you know, had the opportunity to play to a big club. What I did was when I played against the big club, I always did very good competition for the teams that I played because of, you know, the passion I have. And it doesn't matter if I'm playing the lowest team to the highest, I'm always the same. So I had an opportunity to be sold for Italy when I was 15. And then I had an opportunity when I was 15 to get to train with the first team in Italy, the Padova. And then after I trained a couple weeks with the first team, and they wanted to sign me for the professional team. So at the age of 16, I signed my first professional contract.
Wow.
And I played, you know, after a couple of games. And, yeah, I ended up playing, like, starting for 5 games that year. And we went from the 3rd division to the 2nd division in Italy. And then from there, I went to Lugano. First, I was 6 months in Winterthur on the German side of Switzerland. And then I moved to one of the best teams in Switzerland, that's Lugano, and that I did very well. And then one day Jesse Marsh was going to see a training of Basel in Switzerland, and then was snowing so much, so they canceled their training, and the guy said, I'm gonna bring you to watch, you know, a train of a second division team, because I was on loan because I didn't want to sign with them. So they loaned me for the last 3 months or 4 months after 2 years and a half in Lugano. They loaned me for 3-4 months until the end of the season that year because my contract would be done. So I went to this team next to Zurich, and then Jesse Marsh went to see one of my friends that he played, Alex Lima. He used to play for Chicago and Houston. And then he's supposed to go see this guy. And I was on the same team of him. And then Jesse really liked me. And then after training, everyone was shaking his hands. You know, like, oh, very nice to meet you. And I just passed by him without saying nothing, no good morning, nothing, because I didn't know him.
Yeah.
And then he liked it. He liked the way I was. He liked the way I played, and they started to follow me, and I ended up in Montreal with Jesse.
Were you able to go at a young age? Do you have a European passport, an Italian passport?
No, after I was there, I got the European passport.
Got it.
But when I was 15, I got there without anybody, no speak the language, nothing. And, you know, was just the beginning of a journey.
You know, and it kind of makes sense going back to the questions I was asking you at the beginning of our conversation. You know, you almost half of your life now, you've been walking in to situations that could be uncomfortable for a lot of people, and you just walk in and you do your thing. So walking into a locker room for DC United, probably at this point in your life, after everything you've been through, probably not that big of a deal.
Yes, you know, I left my house when I was 10 years old.
Wow.
I lived 18 hours bus from my mom, my father, you know, since I'm like 10, 11 years old. I learned how to wash my own clothes. I learned how to you know, support situations that most of kids in America especially don't gonna, you know, have the, you know, they're lucky they don't have to do those things. You know, I've been through so much in my life that everything that comes to me, I just, you know, accept it, embrace it, and go forward, you know. So that nothing actually faced me at this point in my life, because I've been lucky enough to have two kids, a beautiful wife, so I have my family to take care of. And all the experience I lived in the past made me even stronger than I am today, so...
It's really an amazing story that you've laid it out, and I appreciate you laying it out. One of my questions was going to be, at what point in your life did you kind of embrace this "I'm the bad guy" role? But you've kind of always had that little chip on your shoulder. If I'm reading what your answers say correctly, you've always had that chip on your shoulder, and you've always had to prove yourself. And you know that, combined with the confidence level that you obviously possessed, goes into how your personality expresses itself on the field. Am I wrong in that thinking?
No. You know, when at the age of 12 years old, you know, in Rio de Janeiro, we were assaulted. We guys with guns tried to come in where all the kids were living in. You know, like when you experience that situation since at such a young age, you know, you start to understand that everything else is just a plus.
Yep.
You know, when you are being threatened to be killed or any situation, there's been many situations in my life. So then you start to become somebody that, you know, need to be strong, needs to be, you know, the best you can every day. You need to prove everyone every day and yourself, most importantly yourself, that you're capable of. So that's what all these years, that's who I am, you know. That's sometimes people like, sometimes people don't like it, but you can never change who brought you here. So that's the way I am now.
It feels like your mentality always is why not, and if it involves you taking a different path than your peers in Brazil or how you're going to act on the field, the answer is always why not. Was that your mentality when the opportunity presented itself to come to the United States, play in MLS, probably a league that most Brazilians don't dream of growing up and playing in? Was that your mentality? And I know you went to Canada first, but as part of MLS, was that your mentality? Why not?
Yes, I always liked challenges. I always liked to change places, you know. Even if I didn't have to change, sometimes, you know, I needed to start from a new, you know, perspective. I need to learn something else. I need to speak another language. I needed to challenge myself, and I still do, you know. Every day I try to challenge myself in a way that, you know, I'm not always on my comfortable side. I'm always challenging to do something different, to learn something different, to become a better person, because that's gonna gonna affect how my kids gonna be. You know, how they gonna see the world, how they gonna grow up, and how good they're gonna be in their whatever they're gonna do in their life. You know, because I think first of all, if you have a mentality, you can do and you can accomplish anything in your life. But if you don't have it, you can have the most quality possible. But without mentality, it's like building a build without the base.
Very, very well put. I say that to my kids all the time, be it on the soccer pitch or in school. It's all about your mentality level, and you just expressed it perfectly. I want to get you to preview the Vancouver Whitecaps, who are DC United's next opponent this coming weekend in Vancouver. And there's an infamous story surrounding you and Frank Lampard that I want to get into, and we'll do that next on Pitch Pass. Tropical Smoothie Cafe is proud to blend up the official smoothie of DC United. All season long, try the United Smoothie, a refreshing blend of pineapple, coconut, banana, and lemonade. And on Fridays, you can score one for just $3.99 at any of the 50 DC area locations. Tropical Smoothie Cafe, proud sponsor of DC United. Welcome back to Pitch Pass. We're talking with DC United midfielder Felipe Martins. And Felipe, before I get you to kind of preview Vancouver Whitecaps for DC United fans, I got to ask, what happened in Vancouver? You're one of the upper half of defensive midfielders in MLS, but at some point along the way this year, you kind of fell out of favor from the outside looking in. With the staff, the coaching staff in Vancouver, what happened and what precipitated your move to DC United?
So basically, since I got in Vancouver, wasn't easy for my wife, especially because the kid was 5 days old when they got to Vancouver.
Wow.
So the first 3 months rained almost every single day. It was always very, you know, gray and, mm-hmm. and rainy, and we lost our dog by the pressure.
Wow.
So our dog had a depression, and he died. So he was very
wow.
good for my older kid, you know. So when he lost my kid, it was very, very sad. Second, for I didn't find a school for my older son to go to preschool. Here in US, he goes to preschool since he's 10 months. So it was very hard for him to be at home for
yes.
my wife with a kid that was five days old. And then, you know, gradually growing. And then, you know, in Vancouver then my wife lost her father. So she lost her father, and then was 15 hours to go. She couldn't go because of the kid. The kid was like a month old. It was very difficult because she from Italy, my wife.
Oh, okay.
So, yes. And then finished the year, you know, I talked to the coaches, and they were very happy to keep me there. I was happy as well, but then, you know, I never could fit well the system they play. You know, it sounds like an excuse, but I'm telling you the reality of how I felt. You know, I never felt that, you know, I was fitting the system the way they wanted, because they played a very unique formation. They play a flat three with a lot of tactical movements, very different than I played during my years in MLS. You know, I always tried to adjust, and I, of course, wasn't happy for the times that, you know, I was on the bench, because for years I started almost every single game everywhere I played. And all of a sudden, you know, you find yourself being like 4 or 5 games on the bench, you know, and it's never a good situation. But then when I start to find my form, like, you know, I score a goal and I got traded.
Where were you when you found out? What were you doing?
I was about to go on the field. I was about to go to train, and then they called me. But to be fair, I was surprised, but very excited to join right away DC. And matter of fact, I found out about 11 a.m. And when it was like 7 p.m., I was on the flight to D.C.
Oh, wow. And you know, obviously, no disrespect to the city of Vancouver. It's a beautiful city. I've been there a few times. But how excited was your wife and your family to say, we're moving back to the States, we're moving to a climate that we are more familiar with, as it's very similar to New York? How excited was your family to come back to the East Coast of the continent?
Yeah, they're very excited. They're very happy. They are like putting everything together. I'm going to be happy to see them tomorrow night. And but I need to be said that Vancouver is being so good for us.
Yes.
They are helping her, you know, prepare everything to come to DC. And, you know, I have a tremendous respect for all the people that work there, because they always been so nice to me, and they still helping me to get my family to DC.
And you know, it's not a bad time. It's actually a really good time. How old is your oldest child now?
He's 5 years old, and he's little me. You know, he does kickbox. He is a little tough one.
So well, The timing is perfect, because he can come right in. School is just kind of starting up in our area. You can find a school and he can start fresh with everybody else as the school year is beginning.
Yes. He's very happy. I have he already made the request to bring him the jersey, the shorts, and he's gonna be wearing everything in Vancouver against the Whitecaps.
Now I will ask you about the Whitecaps. You talked about the unique formation that they play. I'm sure Ben is giving you guys all the direction you need as far as tactically for United. But what is the uniqueness of their formation, and is it hard to play against? Do you personally think to yourself, oh, I've got a plan to kind of break that down?
No, I think they never really changed the way they played. You know, they are very tough to score against. You know, they are in a low block. They are comfortable in playing in a low block. They play a flat three. It's like more a Christmas tree now, because they play 4-3, two number 10s and one number 9. So, yes, they're comfortable in playing out of the back. They have good players. And up front, they have Jordi Reyna and In Beyond. That is two good players for me that can make a difference at any time.
You mentioned the low block. You guys, and I'm talking about DC United, employed the low block against the Galaxy on Sunday to great effect. You guys are going to be the road team. Do you feel that the Whitecaps are going to still play in that low block and kind of invite you to come to them? And if that's the case, and you guys are in the low block, How is that going to work out? How do you break down when both teams are kind of playing to absorb pressure rather than going to get a match?
I believe, you know, that Ben is a very good coach. He understands and read well the situation. They know when we need to play a little bit more defensive, a little bit more offensive. Depends on the kind of players you have on the field, of course. But I'm pretty sure he's going to find the best way to go to Vancouver, and we're going to be prepared if they come a little high, if they sit on the block. You know, it's been a great week of training. It's good to have a full week of training with my teammates, and we're going to go there to get the 3 points, because it's the most important.
I'm very interested to see how you play with Wayne Rooney. This is no offense to Russell or Junior, but you hit some balls on Sunday against the Galaxy that I haven't seen from the number six or the any of the D mid positions outside of Chris Durkin throughout the year. Wayne is known to drop back and try to hit those balls as well. Are you kind of excited about the prospect of maybe two guys being able to spray balls from the defensive end, getting the offense started going the other way?
It's always exciting to have a player like Wayne on the field. And but again, I'm very excited with, you know, the the roster we have, because it's very good players. But yes, I'm a kind of player that likes to spray the ball, likes to go for the to the other side and try to put the ball for the best way possible for the forwards to score. And I'm excited to get to play with him. Yes.
This is a tough question, and I'm sure you being as confident as you are, the answer is pretty clear. But at the moment, United is kind of hurting for defensive midfielders. That's not going to be the case in, say, a month from now, when obviously Junior's back already. Russell is working his way back. Chris Durkin working his way back. It's going to be a lot of competition for places in about a month as United makes a playoff push. What's your mentality coming into a new team, getting that opportunity to establish yourself, but knowing that there are some first teamers who are coming back that are going to be looking at you like, hey, my spot, what are we doing here?
I think competition is always good. You know, it's a health competition. It's always good in a team, you know, knowing that you have a player that's right there to take your spot. But at the same time, they gotta understand that I'm here to keep my spot.
Yep.
You know, I'm here to play and you know, give the hardest possible chance for the coach to choose. You know, you just gotta be ready. You just gotta be, you know, thinking about be the best you can, and then the coach's gonna make a decision.
Before I let you go, Felipe, I've got to ask you about a MLS urban legend that was just kind of relayed at The Athletic. I believe it was Bobby Boswell that told the story. You, obviously being who you are on the pitch, are a known trash talker. Well, first of all, you're chuckling. Your thoughts on Bobby Boswell, Felipe?
Yeah, me and Bobby, we always had great fights on the field. You know, like was always a very competitive match when he was on the field. I think he's dirtier than me, but you know, maybe I talk more trash than him. So
well, so he told this. Funny enough, this story isn't even about him. He told the story of maybe
Lambert,
one of the first New York City derbies featuring Red Bulls and NYCFC, and you were doing a little trash talking to Frank Lampard because you guys were blowing them out. And as the story goes, you are in his ear chattering about how much he's losing and how it's very bad that he's losing so badly. His response allegedly to you was, I have $50 million in the bank. I'm not losing. Felipe, can you tell the story as it happened?
Yes, I think he's correct on the fact that he does say that, but was after a while, you know, because they were losing. He was dead on the field, you know, and I was just explaining him that it's because he was how old he was, you know. So, and then I don't think he had anything else to say, and of course he got much more money than me, you know. So that was the way for him to get out of the situation looking good. But in the end, the result still being 7-1.
Yeah, 7-1. You never look good in any situation if the score is 7-1.
Yes.
You never do. But now, here's my question to you. So you're confirming that the story did happen pretty much as Bobby Boswell laid it out?
Yes, that's what happened. And after that, I just hit to say, okay, good match. See you later.
So that's my question. What does a Felipe say after a Frank Lampard drops, I have $50 million in the bank, I'm not losing? Do you just go, all right, we're going to finish this game and leave?
No, I said to him, you know, you can have as much money you want, but today, in this moment,
yes,
you're looking bad. You know, so that don't going to change, you know, what is happening now. I said, okay, buy a less age for you to play more years then. And that's pretty much it.
All right, so last question before I let you go, Felipe, and I have to thank you. This has been a fantastic conversation. The Premier League kicked off this past weekend. Were you rooting for Chelsea versus Manchester United, or were you a little bit happy about the running up of the scoreline at the end of that match?
I actually called my wife and said, look, I'm seeing Frank Lampard losing, and I was thinking about that match. And I said, I was wondering what he would think right now, what's happening, because he has a lot of players around him that have $50 million in the bank.
Yes.
You know?
So what is he, what's your comeback now? You're losing, and everybody's equal to you.
I think that's for him to judge, you know. That's for him to judge. It's easy to talk to a player that, you know, don't have like the same amount of money he has on the bank.
Totally agree. Felipe, here's some good news. I don't hate you anymore. So congratulations.
One less hater.
It's one less hater. Thank you, Felipe.
We have a long way to go.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And, you know, I'm rooting for you now. So best of luck the rest of the season, my friend.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Show information, go to pitchpass.com.